That was great worship. But you love that. Pastor Tim is not here today, so if you were hoping to hear from him, you're not going to hear a formal sermon from him today. I'm his wife, Carrie, and we're here today to let you know about some things that have been going on. As you know, if you're visiting for the first time, you might not know that we're in the middle of kind of a drive toward the next step for Genesis Metro Church, which is to relocate on our property on Eldorado Parkway, just about a half a mile from here. And we are so excited for what God is doing. We've been recounting the stories that he has written, that he is writing, and all the things that he's done in the last 17 years of saying yes to a crazy idea to build a church that could really be all about people. And that's why you're sitting here today. So Pastor Tim, if you've been watching his Instagram, sometimes I'm like, we need to get somebody to do this for him, because I don't know what he's putting up there, all kinds of crazy stuff. They've been filming, and they went to retrieve a certain article years ago. There was a rock that was significant, which is why we've kind of brought these back today. We found those in scripture, of course, but we wanted to go and get that rock and have it be a part of the next chapter for next week when we're all going to commit together. So please watch this video update. It's a bit of a short film, so take the 1-minute clip idea out of your head, all right? Bear with us. Dig in for our short film. Let's roll.
I think about 2008 when I walked on this property for the first time and shot the first video that allowed us to sit in the building that you're in, before we even knew it existed. And on that day, I picked up a rock, and God said, that rock is going to be a witness that what I started, I can finish.
Have you ever wondered, how does amazing happen at Genesis Metro on a Sunday morning? It's happening right now. Josh, what do you have going on?
Get the Rock Project has started.
I'm importing hours of footage.
I'm booking flights to Mexico.
Footage, Mexico, get the rock. What you're getting ready to see is what happens next.
My rock, our family rock, is in Mexico, and it's been sitting there for 7 years. And I promised the pastor, as a matter of fact, you could say it was prophesied, that I would leave the rock there as a blessing, but I would return when we built on this piece of property.
The fact that you had the vision to stop and pick up a rock, that would be part of our story.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well, God actually said to me on that day, that this rock is going to be a witness of the entire story. This rock heard, it was said, that someday on this very piece of ground, Genesis Metro would build his church. And now we're going to get it. I think there is some spiritual irony in this, though. I have to lean on her. I think for 17 years, we've had to lean on each other. There's no way either of us could have done this on our own. And so I think God works in mysterious ways that my back has been up for like 10 days.
Right in the middle of this. The culmination.
As you guys can see, we're not with you today. We're out here talking about these rocks, and every one of these rocks represent a story. Can you tell them what it means to be out here on this piece of property?
You know, here's a fulfillment of what I believe God called us at Texas 2 and 4. It symbolizes his faithfulness. Even in, what I felt like the most remote corners of Iowa, to be grabbed by him and be able to have the opportunity to be used by him to go from, I think, extremely ordinary to something that's so extraordinary.
If you want to know how to make it 22 years in marriage, we've reluctantly never shared this secret, but today, this is behind the scenes only for Genesis Metro. You're not going to find this in a book, but it's the secret handhold. You have to take your first finger from the man, and you put it between the third finger and the pinky finger on the woman's hand, and this is what seals true love. So if you've been wondering where the spark has gone, secret handhold brings it all back.
And how did it start? Just randomly when we were dating, we held hands like that and decided we were going to hold hands like that every time.
Well, this is another truth that is just coming out off the presses. I was taught the same thing by a Jedi master, and clearly it worked.
Another thing that the word endurance brings to mind is the personal sacrifice along the way. You know, there have been people here, and then they're gone. And for me, that's hard, because I'm a people person, and I love relationship, and I love community. So when God calls you to pastor and minister to community no matter what, it really does mean no matter what. So a test of endurance is that you keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep walking out your calling. And for endurance, the last thing I would say is it's a testimony of your walk with God, because there are low moments, and everyone in here can relate to that. There are times, there are days, there are hours when you would really rather not. And that's when he shines through the most.
When we came and picked up our rock, our family's rock, I got to talk to my kids about someday driving down this road and telling their kids about what they got to build and how we all get to be a part of all the things that this church is doing and all the lives that are being changed. What a blessing to be used by God in this way.
Can't believe we're here. Time to get the rock.
Makes a promise, he's able to bring it to pass. We've been waiting, church. It's time. It's time to build. What an amazing example of the stories that God has written at Genesis Metro and is writing at Genesis Metro. Today, as a matter of fact, I've asked one of my friends to share his 107 story with you. I know that you're going to enjoy it. I know that you're going to be impacted by it. I've lived life at every level with this, my friend. I want you to welcome to the stage, like only Genesis Metro can, Coach John Fish.
An intro all the way from Mexico. How do you beat that? I'll tell you what, if you believe God has you here on purpose this morning, can I get an amen? Hey, everything's on purpose when it comes to our Lord and Savior, even when we don't know it. If we go back to 2015, Pastor Carey sat next to my wife at a random football game, and 4 years later, here I am standing in front of you on a stage in Frisco, Texas. The Lord has blessed our lives in ways that I won't be able to describe to you today, but I'm going to do my best. So, I'm going to start. I want to talk about these rocks we have been collecting from the land that we're about to move to. I tell you what, it brings to mind the thought of a cornerstone and the importance of that. That kind of shapes and builds, shapes the structure that you're building on the foundation that you have. So that cornerstone means everything. Although we have a physical representation right here, of these stones and the cornerstone that we're going to have, really the spiritual cornerstone of what our church is the 107. That's what everything is that we're doing. It's what it's about. is the 107. I want to look first at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." If you flip back to the Old Testament in Isaiah 28, this is what Peter's talking about. That cornerstone, Jesus Christ, it was going to build and shape everything that we have today. The key part of that verse that really sticks out to me, though, is it's a big word, shame. It's heavy. And I think it allows all of us in the room we can think back to a time in our life where we've had that experience. It may have been in your teenage years, maybe at some point in your adult life, maybe in your marriage. That moment, though, we can all reflect on it and connect with. That word's not there by accident. See, shame is a product of sin, and we all have been there. That sin, the cycle it leads into is shame. And we go back and forth, the sin-shame cycle. It's tough, and although we like to think we have it all under control, each time, sin, shame, I can handle it. We can handle it. But the problem is, what we find out real soon is that sin is not something we can handle on our own. We can't overcome it. Shame's the same thing. We think we have it all under control. But unfortunately, what we learn real soon is that sin and that shame, it affects areas of our lives, areas that we didn't intend for it to. And that's that moment where you have to come to and say, is this something that I'm going to keep handling on my own? And I know for a lot of men in the room, I'm probably speaking to specifically right now, is what makes you a man is being able to handle things. It's what I learned my entire life. Handle it. Whatever goes wrong, handle it. Whether it's inside, outside, whatever that thing is, handle it. See, the sin, though, and the hardest part of it is that sin grows in the dark, in here. No one sees it. There's no light. It's yours. You handle it. You just handle it. See, in that darkness, people can't see it. Can't see it. No light. It's mine. It's in the dark. See, only when it's exposed to the light will real change happen. So as we go through this, as we go through this sin and shame cycle, you just learn to deal with it, and it just grows and it grows and it grows. And the best part of it is that usually it's not really affecting anybody, especially when you're single. I'm going to talk to my teens real quick. You're single, man. Those things that you're doing right now, they don't affect anybody right now but you. But the problem is that those wild oats you're sowing, you're not getting anything out. You're just putting more in that darkness. And at some point in our adult lives, what we realize is we get married, and unfortunately, there's not a sin switch. You guys know what I'm talking about. That switch that we think, man, I'll get married and everything's going to be all right. I'm not going to have these temptations anymore. I'm not going to want to look at that thing anymore. I'm not going to want to have that conversation anymore. I'm done. I'm going to find that woman. I'm going to find that man, and it's going to change. And it might for a little while. But see, that sin that was in that dark place inside, it's still there. It's not going away. It may even go dormant for a little while, but it's there. And that switch was never flipped because it doesn't exist. We have to be conscious now. Our guard has to be up now, young people. Don't think of sowing something out. No, you're sowing something in. We have to be conscious of that. See, the problem is, the cornerstone of my heart was filled full of sin. And with a faulty cornerstone, the structure is going to fail. It's going to fail at some point. You may not know when it is, and you know it may not know when it's going to happen, but it will, slowly over time. And what we find out is that sin that we had as a single young person, we get in our 20s and our 30s, and we realize real quick that sin, although we feel it's hidden and ours, just ours, it starts to affect others. Now you're in a marriage, you become two. I'm sorry, you two have become one. Now you're affecting somebody else. You never intend for it to happen. You never intend for it to affect the areas that it's affecting. But it does. You see, that darkness, although we think is gone, we think that we're moving on with our lives, it hangs around. And eventually, your flesh will take over. Your pride will start leading the way. And everything that you thought you had, you'll lose. Because that's what sin does. It comes to destroy. It seeks to destroy everything good in your life. To the point that one day you wake up and you have an empty home. The home that was once filled with laughter of a young child is gone, and it's just you. Everything in that structure that you built, destroyed by sin. So you have to ask yourself the very thing that we started with, can I handle it? Or is it time to let him handle it? I found myself in that place about 2 years ago, facing that very question. Can I keep handling this, or is it time for me to let him handle this? See, my cornerstone needed to be rebuilt, but the problem is our cornerstone cannot be rebuilt in the dark. It needs light. It needs light, and it needs holiness, and it needs Jesus Christ to be able to rebuild for our structure to last everlasting. It has to. It has to be built in the light. I will tell you this. It will not matter where you're at. You may be in the sin. You may be in the shame. You may be on the end of the cycle. You're feeling pretty good right now, but it's going to come back. I'm here to tell you it can be different. It can be different. It doesn't matter how far you're gone, how many marriages you've been through, no matter how many stepkids you have had, no matter how many people you've had in and out of your life, it can change. I'm here to tell you, I was the 107. My marriage was the 107. As a father, I was the 107. I needed to be rebuilt. I was asked a question. What if it could be different? What if it could be different? The moment I gave up everything that I had built in the dark was the moment that I found peace. And the peace I'm going to speak to is not a peace of promise that everything was going to be okay. Your wife's going to come back. You're going to be able to be a father. You're going to get all these things back. It's okay. That was never there. I had a spiritual peace in the moment that I gave up that sin, the moment that I gave up that pride, that ego, that thing that was driving me to handle everything on my own. I gave it up. And in that moment, a peace overwhelmed my heart. Christ came over me and gave me a peace that allows me now to stand up here today and use a terrible, terrible destruction for his glory. These rocks here represent hope. Hope. There is hope. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you're at, you can have generational change. See, I can stand up here and tell you about my parents' divorce. I can stand up here and tell you about the craziness that my life was growing up, all these things. But the reality is I'm a 33-year-old man, and I have to make choices. Genesis Metro provided me a choice to change the life for my wife and my son and for a little girl that I'll be welcoming here in January. See, that they can have it different because we chose him and knew it could be different. It can get better. It can change. All you have to do is let go. I'll tell you this today. A life not lived in shame is a life that will allow you to change the world for his glory. When you remove that piece, you will change the world for his glory. I get to do that every single day now. He'll change your mind, he'll change your heart, he'll change everything, the way you look at everything. I used to walk in regret, wishing so badly, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have gone down that path. But I'll tell you this, over the past 2 years, I know that I am the most blessed man in the world because not only did he save my marriage, my ability to be a father, but the Lord changed my heart in a way that every single day I get to wake up and my perspective is, I am the most blessed man in the world. I take a step out my front door every day and I go to a job where I know my purpose now. See, my purpose used to be coaching football, winning games, doing those things. Man, I loved it. I loved it and I still do. Everybody wants to win, right? But the thing that drives me is the fact that every day I get to step out and change young men's life for him. I get to step out every day and love my wife for him. I get to show my son an example of what he wants me to be. I thank God every day for what he's given me. He took something so destroyed and lost and turned it in to his glory. I'm here to tell you today, it can be different. I don't know where you're at. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're in a place right now you're feeling pretty good. But you're going to have to ask yourself, at 60, is this the life that you're going to want? At 60, is it going to look the way you want it to look? I had to ask myself, and I had to come to terms with that. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Thank God for a church that is all about people. I sat on that back row back there about 2.5, 3 years ago. And I laugh now. We laugh because I sat back there because I was right in the middle of my sin cycle. I went so far as to say, I'm not coming back to this church. I'm not coming. That ain't for me. It's too much. Here I am today. You may be on that back row. You may be on the front row. I don't know. But it can be different. Can be different. We are a 107 story. Myself, my family, and Jesus Christ changed our life. It changed everything about who we are and what we do. That's what this church has to offer. That's what we're building on the road to El Dorado. Life change. Thank God for life change. Generational change. I want to thank Pastor Tim and Pastor Kerry, not only for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today, but for the opportunity to invest in myself and my family. My son and my daughter have a chance now. They have a chance because of this church. So thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you, Pastor Kerry, for the opportunity to speak today. I am so thankful that we go and have a place like Genesis Metro. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Fish. Thank you.
You can stay standing. You can stay standing. We're almost done. And I want you to think about something that he said about the cornerstone. If you don't have a strong cornerstone, if you got a faulty cornerstone, the building is shaky. The building is not going to last. The building is not going to withstand any storm that comes along. That's what he was saying. So much truth in that.
So as we, you know, we stand here, and just like you said, we met them through football. Coach Fish was our kids' coach for a couple of years, and I met Lindsay at a football game, randomly sat beside her in the stands. And that's how God works. That's how he works. That's how our paths crossed. Everyday life, meeting people, watching him do what he does. If you would bow your heads for a moment, I just want us to be able to focus in on this church is a collection of people who had a faulty cornerstone, and Jesus replaced it with the chief cornerstone of himself. And in that, we stand on a strong foundation that when the storms come, and they will come, we will be able to stand because our cornerstone is solid and it's in place and it's unshakable. There's a great verse that says, to the King on high, immovable, unshakable, the Almighty God, that is Jesus Christ. So as Pastor Tim's been taking us through Joshua, last week he gave this great challenge of who is going to step in, step out so others can step in. And there's a verse in that chapter that says, when you see the Lord coming, when you see the ark of the Lord coming, step out from what you're doing and follow after it. So really, we're all called to take that step. And we're all called to do what it was that God led John to do, which was take stock of what in our lives needs to be surrendered so that he can fully use you to your biggest, highest capacity in him. Because anything that you put your hand to apart from him really is shaky. It's unstable. But anything that you put your hand to, having him invited into the middle of it, that is the eternal. That is the impact. That is what's going to make a difference. That is going to speak loudly. That is going to change the lives of the people around you. Right there in your home, your children, your family. God, today what we ask as a church is that we would be ready to step out so that someone else can step in. We would not neglect that responsibility. We would not shy away from the challenge that comes with that, Lord. God, today we lift your name and yours alone, and we worship for the 107. We stand for the 107. We will surrender it all for the 107. And the church said, amen. Let's give God some praise. Let's worship.